To remember Christ, which is the point of the Lord's Supper, is to dwell upon the place where Christ is, a place that we cannot see with our physical eyes. In this chapter, the Apostle Paul recorded a catalog of the trouble that he faced nearly every day of his life. Opposition from the devil, persecution from other people, and the battle with his own flesh marked his life at times, in many times, with agony. Yet he said toward the end of this chapter that he regarded all of his problems as parts of a light affliction that endures only for a moment. He said that his outward man was perishing, but that his inward man was being renewed day by day. He confronted perplexing circumstances, but he did not despair. He experienced persecution, but not abandonment. The man who wrote the words of 2 Timothy 4:16 also wrote the words of 2 Timothy 4:17. Let's just look at those two texts. 2 Timothy 4:16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. His first appearance before the emperor. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. It would be easy for Paul to think there that he was abandoned. But we read in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. But he couldn't see him. Yet the reality was, Paul said, the Lord stood with him, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, Paul was not looking at the things he could see with his physical eyes as the goal of his existence. He was focusing his attention on the reality of the risen and ascended Christ as his personal Redeemer. He wanted to remember him, to have some physical reminder of Christ's presence in heaven. The world has changed a lot since Paul's time. But as much as the world has changed in terms of technology and history, the world is the same as it has always been. The challenges believers face in living for Christ are the same as they have always been. So don't let anybody convince you otherwise. Our lives are a pilgrimage. That is, there is an end in view. Along the way are many challenges. But here is the Holy Spirit's protection package. Keep your eyes spiritually on the right things. The scriptures tell us that Moses endured in his day as seeing Him who is invisible. It seems to be a contradiction, seeing Him who is invisible. Well, this evening, we come to another remembrance of the supper that Christ instituted for our benefit. Yes, I say He instituted it for our benefit. Even though the initial supper was for the benefit of the disciples. It's a simple meal. The elements are very basic. There's no call here for elaborate cuisine. Instead, the elements are those things that draw our attention to Christ. We don't focus on the elements as ends in themselves. We look upon them and partake of them as reminders of the invisible Savior. I want you to think upon that theme with me in the few moments we have this evening. Reminders of the invisible Savior. Now, the text in arguing that we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, does not argue that you should become a monk or a nun and forsake all interaction with the world. It doesn't recommend that you neglect your responsibilities, your houses, your cars, your families, your vocations. But what the text does is to urge you to keep everything in its place. That is, not to place more value in the things that you can see than they deserve to have. It also reminds us that the elements before us on the table are transitory. There's some evidence of that thought in the hymn that we were singing just now, hymn number 231, where Horatius Bonar, we're going to sing another one of his hymns just before we partake of the elements. But we read in verse 4 of that hymn, stanza 4, "Too soon we rise, the symbols disappear. The feast, though not the love, is past and gone. The bread and wine remove, but thou art here, nearer than ever still my shield and sun." In the first stanza, Bonar wrote, "Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Here would I touch and handle things unseen." The elements are important, but only because of the truths they represent. Paul said that the things we can see are the things that we shall leave behind. They are temporary. This text and this supper convey a clear word to believers. The things that you can see with your eyes physically will not last forever. So live with your sight on that which is invisible. Then you will be able to endure the light affliction of which Paul wrote, that will work in you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This text provides us a study in three realities that direct our attention to these reminders of the invisible Savior. The first reality is spiritual action. What Paul established in the text was a clear division between the things we can see and the things we cannot see. It's evident that he was referring to the use of the physical eyes. There is already use of the physical eyes and the physical senses. at the Lord's table, we see the physical elements. But if those elements are all we see at the Lord's table, then we come and go from this place without any profit or benefit. The scriptures insist that the greatest reality is what we cannot perceive with our physical sight. As Bonar wrote in his hymn, the elements on the table will soon pass away, either in our consumption of them or in disposing of the remains afterward. They are the things to do with this world and with this age. This text addresses the way in which we think about this world. It cautions us to avoid thinking that there is greater value in that which is of this world than in that which is of the world to come. That which we can see is carnal. That which we cannot see is spiritual. The Apostle Peter warned against becoming preoccupied with what we can see. Let us turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? You see why the preoccupation with saving the earth, saving the environment, has only limited value. It's not that we shouldn't be careful about the place in which we live. We are to be stewards of it. But the reality is, as Peter has told us, it's going to be burned up. It's going to pass away. It's going to be destroyed. Paul was careful in our text to lay down this contrast between the things we can see and the things we cannot see to show the way in which the people of God can regard their affliction in this world. And he had in mind in particular, I believe, the opposition that comes in this world, the persecution that comes in this world, as light and temporary. Because they don't consider it to be the ultimate reality. They ponder what natural people cannot see. That is, they look to what is truly spiritual. They come to the elements of the Lord's Supper, and they don't just see the elements. They ponder what they signify. That's the reality that we have before us at the Lord's table. These physical elements represent spiritual reality. So to partake of them is not just a physical action. It is a physical action, but it is more than that. It is a spiritual action. And if we fail to comprehend that reality, then we fail to contemplate the reality of the risen and ascended Christ. Christ instituted this supper so that there would be an ongoing reminder of him the invisible Savior. Remember what the Lord said to Thomas? Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen me and yet have believed. Now, in particular, these physical elements speak to us about this service of remembrance. And that's the second thing to which we come in our text, memory's object. We consider the meaning of the word in our text, look. While we look not at the things which are seen. Now, the word for see in our text is a general word in the New Testament referring mostly to the physical act of using the eyes. We know what that means. We know what it is to see. But the word for look that we have in our text is fairly rare in the New Testament, and we should look at some of its other occurrences. So let's do a short word study and turn first of all to Romans 16 and verse 17. Romans 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, and here's the word that is look. In our text, mark them, which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So that's the first occurrence that we consider. Now let us turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, that's the same word, considering thyself, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So what we are finding emerging here is an examination. The Gospel of Luke is next, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Verse 35. Take heed, therefore. Again, the same word. Look, therefore. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. And one final reference in this brief word study, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Philippians 3 and verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and here's the word again, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Mark them. So the word carries the force of a careful examination, a thorough investigation. It comes from a root word that carries the force of a goal, of an objective. And that root occurs in one place in the New Testament, a most significant reference, and that is in Philippians 3 and 14, where Paul said he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The goal of his life was that mark. So what is Paul's point then? It is that your examination, your study, your investigation, your goal as a believer should not be what you can see physically, but what you cannot see physically. That is, you should fix your mind on the object of your faith, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to consider again the example of Moses to which I referred earlier, and let us turn to Hebrews 11 and notice how he ordered his life. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now notice verse 27 especially. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses lived as seeing him who is invisible, as seeing the one he could not see with his physical eyes. In the Passover remembrance each year after the Exodus, he saw the physical reminders of the invisible Redeemer. So the faith of Moses was not in a ceremonial system of sacrifice. His faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ. What could Moses see while he was growing up in Egypt? He could see all the wealth and all the luxury and all the pleasure that was in Egypt. But when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he forsook everything. Now, when we come to the table of the Lord, we have to ask, whom do you remember? Do you love the elements? Do you love the bread and the cup? No. You love the one of whom they speak. You love his body broken for you. You love his blood of the New Testament shed for you as atonement for your sins. It is that remembrance of the one who is the object of our faith that enables us to continue on in the midst of this ungodly world. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. And then we come to the third aspect of our text, and that is faith's perseverance. Faith's perseverance. Here is what keeps our focus straight. The things that you can see are temporal, Paul said. That is, they're just for a time. They're just for a season. I'm quite interested in archaeology. Sometimes I read articles about archaeology. I've often thought it would be interesting to join an archaeological dig. Probably getting to the point where I'm too old for that now. But I've often thought about that. Dealing with things that people dig up, that people in prior generations used. Some common things, some uncommon things, but they're temporal. They were for a time or for a season, and they ended up being buried. And that is what the things that we can see are. They are for a time. In a flash, everything that you have valued can be destroyed. The people tonight on our country's southeast coast are pondering the approach of the powerful Hurricane Dorian, one of the mightiest storms ever in that part of the Atlantic at this time. And there's a lot of uncertainty about the path that the storm will take as it approaches the continental United States. And there are those who are concerned at the prospect of the destruction of everything they hold dear. There is the reminder that the things that are temporal will not endure. Yet, there are many professing Christians who spend their time and their energy on the things of this world. Those are the things they value. They devote themselves to pursuing them. But they are temporal. They are temporary, Paul said. The apostle affirmed that the things that are not seen are eternal. Those are the things that last. Those are the things that endure. Those are the things that will never pass out of existence. Paul said that the secret for him in his perseverance and the secret of the perseverance of every one of the people of God was to live with their eyes on the things that are not seen. It is the powerful lesson that comes to us at the Lord's table with fresh power. We look at these elements tonight and we find more reminders of the Savior whom we cannot see, because he is in heaven. In his body, he is in heaven. By his spirit, he is in our midst. But in his body, he is in heaven. We can't see him physically. But we have these reminders, and these reminders teach us that there will come a day when he shall appear. And when we shall see him as he is. So until that day, Christ has given us the reminders of the invisible Savior to edify our faith so that we may live in this temporal world as those who know that only Christ and his truth and his people will endure. That is what we consider when we come to the table of the Lord.